fourth and final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick alongside. Chase is off. He'll be back on Monday. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena. White versus gold right now. Gold up 1-0 as they begin second period right now. Pekka Rinne in net for the white team. UC Saros in net for the gold team. We welcome in Elliot Freeman. By the way, they'll be off tomorrow to Saturday practice, and then they will head to the Hub City Edmonton on Sunday. Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet joins us every Thursday at 1 o'clock in 31 Thoughts. Elliot, how the heck are you?
Tell those gold guys to get going. I've got them minus a goal and a half.
Well, they took care of business yesterday, winning 4-1. We'll see if they can follow up with another victory today.
I expect it. I got to gamble on something. It's been too long since meaningful games.
Well, we're getting oh so close. Yeah. Major League Baseball starts their season up tonight, and the NBA is just around the corner, and of course everything gets rolling for the NHL as we go into a new month at the start of August. So let's just start with the news that came out today. You said you had gold minus 1.5?
Yes.
We've got a goal by the white team, yeah. So we're even at 1.
And it's, of all people, Elliot, Mike McCarron, the late pickup from the Montreal Canadiens, going top shelf on UC Saros to tie the score.
Nice. He's a good guy, McCarron. I hope he does well there.
Big dude.
He is a big body, for sure.
Very big dude, yes. Yeah. You definitely notice him out there.
Yes, you do, and we are high atop Bridgestone Arena. So the 32nd team that is coming into the National Hockey League in the 21-22 season now has a nickname, the Seattle Kraken. You don't have to give us 31, but your thoughts.
I am big time on the Kraken bandwagon. I was really hoping that was going to be the name. I'm glad to see it's going to be the name. I got to tell you, I like the logo and the design of the jersey too, the color scheme. I think it looks really good. You know, my co-worker, Jeff Merrick, who you guys know well, he's not as crazy about the name. He thinks that the arena's going to get nicknamed the Crack House and the players are going to be nicknamed the Crackheads. So he's not really crazy about it, but you know, somebody's got to be the Debbie Downer, right? I guess that's Merrick. I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's different. And I also like the logo on the jersey. I thought they looked really good.
Wow, so he right out of the gates. We're 2 hours into the announcement. Crackheads and Crack House. Wow. That didn't take long.
Yeah, he to his credit and his defense, he's been on that for a while. Because we've talked about Seattle's name for a bit of time, and I've been on the Kraken bandwagon since the start. And Jeff has said those things since I've been doing that. So he's not quick enough to think about it this quickly. He's been doing it for some time.
You know, we had Craig Morgan on, who covers the Coyotes, last hour.
Yep.
And we asked him about the move when Seattle comes in and Arizona's going to slide into the Predators division. He certainly didn't paint the picture that they're excited about that out there. What do you make of how the league has decided how to handle how the Western Conference would look when Seattle comes into the league?
Well, I guess they just did it with geography, right? You got to have those three Canadian teams together. It's not like you're breaking them up. You got to have the three California teams together. I mean, and you got to have Seattle play Vancouver. That's a natural rivalry.
Yep.
And I guess your choice just came down to Vegas or Arizona. And I guess there's a geographical case to be made for Arizona. I know the Coyotes aren't thrilled with it. At the time it came down, the majority owner was still Andrew Barraway. Now it's Alex Murillo. But Barraway was at the Board of Governors meeting, and I remember all of us trying to get him to talk about it when it was announced. And he wouldn't talk. He was disappointed. And so I know the Coyotes are not crazy about it. They like their rivalries and some of their travel with some of those teams. But you know the commissioner, once a decision's made, it's not easy to get him to change his mind.
He suggested that they've thrown out the idea of an NFL type of thing, 8-4 team divisions. Has that gotten any talk at all?
Not as far as I know. I did wonder if, as part of the new CBA, a realignment or a change in the playoffs would be part of it. During the negotiations, I'd heard some rumors that an expanded playoff was going to be part of it, and someone laughed at me who would know. So he said that's never going to happen. I know the commissioner. I fought with the commissioner on expanded playoffs. He's like basically told me to give up and stop asking him about it. So it doesn't sound like any kind of realignment or playoff change, guys, is anywhere near the near us.
Something else that came out of that interview is we asked him about Taylor Hall, and they had been working pretty aggressively about trying to get him locked up long term and trying to convince him to stay there in Arizona. But something that jumped out at me when I heard him say that, when he was telling about how the owner and the people that were involved in the meeting, the one person he didn't name involved in the meeting, Elliot, was the general manager. Don't you think that's weird?
Yeah, there's definitely something going on there that we're still trying to figure out what's happening. So there was a time not long after Hall was acquired when the Coyotes were on a road trip, and the owner, Alex Murillo, and John Chayka, and Taylor Hall, and Taylor Hall's agent, a guy by the name of Darren Ferris, they went out for dinner in Montreal. And, you know, Arizona's goal was to re-sign him. And then last week they met for dinner, and it was Morello's son, whose name is Alex Jr., and Javier Gutierrez is the new president and CEO of the team, and Chayka was not there. And I've also heard that Gutierrez has had some conversations with some other agents around the league just on a get-to-know basis, and it certainly seems that Chayka is on the outside right now. And, you know, there's been one story that's been kind of going with Arizona this year, and that is that other teams have accused them of illegally working out draft-eligible players, and the league has been investigating it. And I asked the league if maybe this was some kind of punishment, and they told me no. So I don't know what's going on here exactly. It might be one of those things we might not figure out until after the Coyote season's done. But there's something going on there. It is weird. He's not as involved as he normally is, and we're all trying to figure out what this means.
Circle-to-circle pass for the gold team. Was trying to find the stick of Ellie Tolvanen, but swinging a miss there for the gold team. 1-1, 7 or 13 minutes to go in the second period. Tell me one thing that you like about the Coyotes going into this series against the Predators, and one concern you have with the Coyotes going into this series against the Predators.
Well, the number one thing I like about them is that their goalie is healthy and Kemper. You know, he was having really an MVP-level season. You know, I don't think he was going to be in the MVP conversation or anything like that, but he was having an MVP-caliber season. He'd been dynamite for them, and he got hurt, and they fell back a little bit while he was hurt. And, I mean, we don't know how a lot of these guys are going to look after all this time off, but, you know, the guy who was having their best year for them is healthy and ready to play. I think that's one of the things that is good for them. My biggest question about them is if they're going to score enough to win. You guys can score. I mean, you didn't do as much as you'd like to this year. I know there were a lot of your guys that had down years. But when your team is going, you guys can score. And I think that's one of the issues for them is that they really have trouble doing it. Hall is so important to them in that he's going to be playing for a contract in a sort of a new landscape and a new era. I think he'll be motivated to do that, but I just wonder if they're going to be able to score or not.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, you shared on your Twitter some of the things that are going on in the NBA bubble to try to simulate as best an environment as you can. Right now, as we speak, the Predators are trying to funnel in some music and some game type of elements that are going on. I've watched a few innings in some different parks of what baseball is doing. What can you share about what you know about Edmonton and or Toronto, about what exactly they're going to try to do?
Well, one of the things I do know is that they've asked teams, are there any specific kinds of, you know, goal music you have or music that you want to have played during your game? So I think that, or maybe like, you know, some of the things that you have to get your crowd going on the scoreboard or in the arena during games, can it be taken with you or brought with you to Edmonton? You know, for example, I know Columbus has asked, or it's been discussed with Columbus, how can we imitate the cannon? I don't think they're going to take the cannon with them, but do you want to bring the sound effect or anything like that? So I think that's all part of the stuff they're talking about. Now, the NBA started playing their exhibition games, their scrimmages over the past couple of days, and I retweeted one of the images of what it looks like around the court. And it's pretty intimate. Like, they have screens tight to the court where they've got fans on them and their chants and their hometown crowds. And I do think the NHL has flirted with that. Now, at some point today, I know there's a call with the NHL, the teams, and the players where they're going to discuss with them what the bubbles are going to look like. And then they're going to show them all to the media tomorrow. So we'll have a better idea then. But I do know that some of the things they're talking about is, what kind of things do you want to bring from your arena, whether it's chants or goal songs or whatever it is, that you can have part of the bubble when your team plays. And I know they have talked about screens in the lower bowl to make it look a bit more intimate, and so they can project fan images and likenesses on them. So all of that kind of stuff is being discussed. So when Nashville plays Arizona, there'll be times when the Nashville feel, they try to bring it into Edmonton's rink.
Elliot, we were kicking this around this morning. We're watching the scrimmage right now. Obviously, teams cannot bring up, is it numbers 30 or 31 players you can take to the hub city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 31.
31. Okay, so Darren threw this out there, and I did not know the answer. If for some crazy reason you had to go deeper on your roster, let's say you go two or three rounds, you've played all these games, and you have some attrition, do the guys that did not make the first cut, could you bring them in at some point if you had to? What's the rule there?
Well, there are, like, I asked this question, and it was basically, the answer basically was like, first of all, we're hoping that nobody loses 11 guys.
You know, right.
That's number one. But if you look at the stage four protocols, there is a mechanism where it says, if you have to leave the bubble, here's how you get back in. And, you know, first of all, you can't leave the bubble without permission. The only people who are going to be allowed to leave are the people who are going for, you know, birth of their children or stuff like that. But I was told it's going to be difficult because if you haven't been subjected to testing, I don't think they want to bring you in. So it sure doesn't sound to me that if, you know, anyone is cut, they're going to be going in there.
Were you as pleasantly surprised as we all were at the low number of positive tests, like two out of over 2,000? That was incredible to me.
Yes, I was very shocked at that. I was really surprised at that. And one of the reasons I was so surprised is
sorry about that.
Who pretty scored? Passing.
If you're
right
curious,
there.
That was Eli Tolvanen that just scored a really nice passing play by the young line, Rem Pitlick.
Pitlick, yeah.
Jeremy Davies was involved. It was a good transition play there. So nice, the first-round pick, Tolvanen, jumping in there.
Nice. I was surprised at that, guys. I was very surprised because if you take a look at it, like, we had nine guys in Boston who couldn't skate last week. So initially my reaction was, how could there only be two positive tests? And in Boston, I guess, it was a situation where one guy had it and the rest of it was simply, you know what, we can't risk having this player around other people. and he was, so we're going to isolate all the people who were kind of exposed to him. I thought that was really good news. Really think, guys, the best news for the, and I think some of the players have felt this way too, is if you look at, you know, some of the results in, for example, soccer and basketball in the hubs, they've had very low number of positive tests. And I know there's people in the NHL, both teams and players, who were really excited to hear that because, you know, soccer looked like a disaster last week. I mean, you guys were right in the middle of it. You knew about it. Basketball, you know, there were some cases. And so for the players in the leagues to see that soccer seemed to have a handle on it after what Nashville and Dallas went through, I think that gave people a lot of optimism.
So goal, that was the goal team, just so you know, Elliot. Yeah. So you're back in control, up 2-1. You need another goal.
Oh, that's right. We forgot to tell Elliot. That was his team.
Remember, he had minus 1.5.
Yeah.
The great Pete Weber just came over and told us, be on the lookout. It looks like Connor Ingram and Troy Grosnick are getting ready to replace Pecorine and UC Saros maybe here soon. So be on the lookout for that, Willie.
Somebody's paying attention.
Well, Elliot.
Well, speaking of that real quick, Elliot, kind of going back on what Willie threw out there, do you think every team taking at least three goaltenders?
Yes. I know there are teams thinking of taking four.
I think you take four. I mean, based on the crazy story that happened, it was because two goalies got hurt in the same game. So I would think for that reason alone, you would take four, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, they told you, they said you can take as many goalies as you want. The only limit you have is the number of players. You got 31, right? So if you take four, you got 27 skaters, which should be okay. But, you know, Pittsburgh yesterday that said they're taking four. So, and I don't think they're going to be the only team. I'd be surprised if there was only one team taking four.
I know we'll get into the matchup a lot more. There's so many intriguing series, and it's, you know, you can probably convince yourself that either team could win every series that's going to happen here, Elliot, but just the spectacle of everything. Five games in a day from pretty much round the clock. The excitement is going to be incredible. What could this do for the league? I can imagine in Canada just everything shutting down. People are just going to be watching all day. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, you know, like you guys mentioned, today's opening day in baseball. I've been watching. Last week I watched two Blue Jays intra-squad scrimmages, and then I watched their two exhibition games in Boston this week, and I've been like, how much have I missed this? And, you know, I like the fact that it's going to start with a whole March Madness feel. And, you know, the one thing I think a lot of us are curious about is what are the games going to look like? You know, like, you know, eight of the teams, four in the East and four in the West, they can kind of ease into it. They've got round-robin games. But the other 16 teams, they can't do that. You know, they've got meaningful games right away. And are guys going to be kind of tiptoeing their way in? Or are guys going to be riled up and ready to go, you know, and just barreling into each other at the start? I'm as curious about that as I am about anything.
Well, Pete Weber was right. There was a little break in the action. And sure enough, we looked down. And Connor Ingram is in there in net for the gold team, which could affect your bet. Elliot and Troy Grosnick is in for the white team with about 8 minutes to go in the second. It is going to be a lot of fun. In fact, we joked yesterday.
Didn't Grosnick have like a huge year in the AHL this year?
Oh, yeah.
They both did. They both were. I mean, Milwaukee was unbelievable this year in the AHL.
They were going to run away with it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good. That sucks for those guys. Like, you have a chance to try to win the championship and it gets torn out of your hands like that. That blows.
And their general manager, a little let you in on something, their general manager of the Admirals, Scotty Nickel, he is the head official here today. Yeah.
And they are
giving it
to him from the bench.
Oh, yeah.
They are absolutely all over him.
He's got the orange armband, and we can hear chatter all the way up here every time he blows his whistle.
I hope he gives it back. Like, I hope he's taking the names and numbers of guys who are really giving it to him, and in a huge moment in the game, he gives somebody like a bad penalty or something like that.
Well, we've joked. We know it's not coming from the young guys, right? Like guys we were talking about, Rem Pitlick and Ellie Tolvin, and those guys that spent time in Milwaukee, they're probably calling him, you know, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right.
Good call, sir. But it's probably the older
guys. Anybody who needs a vote of confidence, yeah, they're not arguing with him.
That's right. That is right.
Hey, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. And, man, next week it's going to be a lot of fun, right? We're going to be right there. In fact, next week when we talk to you will be the day of the exhibition game for the Preds and the Stars.
All right. Well, we look forward to it. It'll be great to have some actual hockey to talk about.
No doubt. Thank you, Elliot.
All right, guys. Take care.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts, visits us every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Right now, I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. I was there this week. I was there last week. And we know things are not normal in these times. And if you want to feel safe for your visit to Cool Springs because you need to talk to them about several things, because I'm going to tell you about how many things they house under one roof, which is a lot. They're going to make you feel safe. You're going to pull into their beautiful facility there in Cool Springs, right off 65, and you're going to let them know that you're there, and you're going to safely sit in your car, and they're going to text you or call you and say, hey, it's time for you to come in for your visit, and you're going to go in there safely and do what you need to do at Cool Springs MD. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge was there this week when I made my visit. Of course, the board-certified physician there, and Daphne Lodge's wife, the registered nurse, and their very experienced staff can offer you a lot of things. Whether you're there for hormone replacement therapy, maybe you've learned that your levels are really, really low. Maybe you've been trying to figure out why you've been so sluggish late. Talk to them about that. Face and body rejuvenation, and more importantly, weight loss management. Maybe a lot of you are not satisfied with your weight these days. Things may be different. Maybe your gym was closed for a long time, or you've gotten to develop some bad habits during quarantine times, or you've been spending so much time at home. We know your health is vitally important right now with this virus out there, and they've got programs for you. They've got people in place that can help you. These are just some of the things, some of many that they do under one roof. If you need to call them and schedule an appointment or get a consultation, the number is 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website and learn everything about them. CoolSpringsMD.com.
Here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. 3 minutes and 15 seconds to go in the second period of the scrimmage between the Predators gold and the Predators white. It is now a 2-2 game. Both goalies, Juuse Saros and Pekka Rinne, have been replaced by Troy Grosnick and Connor Ingram. And since we last left you, Victor Arvidsson has tied the game at two apiece. So if you're just joining us and you're curious on how the scrimmage has gone today, and it has been a straightforward scrimmage to this part, it's been all 5-on-5, as best I can tell. I don't think they've done anything else. Yesterday they were really working on special teams. They were putting each team on the power play very, very often. So it's a very different type of game today. The gold team has goals from Mikael Granlund, and also from Ellie Tolvanen. The white team has goals from Mike McCarron, and also just now Victor Arvidsson to tie it. Victor Arvidsson's goal came against Connor Ingram. All the other goals were scored against the starting goalie. So Pekka Rinne, for the record, surrendered two goals. Juuse Saros surrendered one. Saros, I thought, was outstanding. He again, for the second straight game, Darren, faced a lot more shots while he was in there. And I thought he had to make a lot of tougher saves. Pekka Rinne was one of those games where he wasn't getting a shot for a long time. He made some good, solid saves, but he didn't face as much traffic. The other guy that I think is really standing out, and it's, as you mentioned, it's really the entire line, but Matt Duchene is flying today. He is all over the place. Tons of dynamic plays. He's got that quick acceleration. And, man, that's a good sign. Hopefully that could carry over.
That's 2 days in a row the white team has badly outshot the gold team.
And right, Matt now, Duchene, by the way, is playing for the gold. It's not translating into a lot of shots, but the rushes.
But they're scoring.
Yeah. Troy Grosnick has made some really good saves since he's come in there. Duchesne in particular was blasted right through the middle, had a great burst of speed for a breakaway, and Ingram stopped him. So a lot of interesting things. I was just saying, Darren, as you were putting your headset on, it's a much different type of game today in the scrimmage. It's all 5-on-5. Yep. Yesterday was tons of special teams in there, so the flow and the speed is different.
Yeah, we don't have, something we talked about earlier, we don't have the gray and the blue jerseys today. It's everybody, if you're on the white team, you've got the white jersey. If you're on the gold team, you've got the gold jersey, right? They were working on some special teams yesterday, not the case today, with just under three minutes to go in the second period, as they're trying to get this thing ramped up as they get a little bit closer. It'll be one more practice after today, Saturday, and then they are going to board the plane and they are going to head to Edmonton. And when the next time they return home, it'll be hopefully as Stanley Cup champs or when it's all over, because that's you go there and you're there until you're done.
You get all excited and then you hold your breath and you say, please, let's get to Sunday, get those guys up in the air and into Edmonton, into the hub, into the bubble, where the risk goes down. You still have a few more days where you got to get from here, you got to get home, you got to make sure you're disciplined, you don't go out anywhere, as little as possible. And the reason I'm saying this, Darren, is the news has just come down. Juan Soto tested positive.
Oh, okay.
For the COVID-19. Yeah. So
young guy,
but
what, 21 years old,
and who knows how he got it, but terrible news right as you're about to have this showcase game tonight, defending champions and one of the bright young stars, and hopefully he's not sick or anything, but there's no indication that he is, but he can't play.
Well, we don't even talk about that. Think about it. All the people have tested positive. We don't even say anything about that. You ever notice that? We don't even talk about it. We're like, I'll be back in two weeks.
Yeah, the only guy I've seen that really got sick that I've read about anyway is Freddie Freeman. And even he is battling back and should be ready to go here pretty soon. But, you know, baseball is dealing with some guys.
Nice save.
Yeah, Grossnick's looking good.
That was from, who was that, Blackwell just shot?
I'll tell you another. Yeah, that Blackwell, Tolvin, and Rem Pitlick line is done well.
They have.
They've done very well. Jeremy Davies had a beautiful assist on that Tolvanen goal. He's a good active defenseman that's worked with those guys.
A guy they really like. A young guy.
Yeah. He's got a bright future.
You know, do you think we haven't talked enough about the return to play and what's already been going on? And I know these aren't great comparisons, but you think about it. Like I said, not great comparisons when I name these two sports. NASCAR and golf, to me, I have always said all along, there was no reason for them not to be the first ones back, because their sports just set up perfectly for what we're currently in. NASCAR, you're in a car by yourself. Yes, you have a team. You have a team that jumps over a wall. You have a crew. I get that. But still, outdoors, vast places, right? Like, it was really kind of set up for success. Now, they've had their hiccups, just like everything else. Jimmy Johnson tested positive, went away for a couple weeks. He's back in a car. But NASCAR, since they came back, the point of this is they've been back.
Yeah.
And everything they've said they were going to do, they've done. Golf is the other one. Not a great comparison to what these other sports that we're about to talk about. Outdoors, you know, it's set up for them to be basically be at a safe distance. And it's kind of set up to succeed. And guess what? They've had their hiccups too, but they've been plugging away, right? They've been going at it. So the point is, and MLS, take out before they started the gigantic hiccups of Dallas and Nashville. But since they've started, away they go, right? They've been playing their games, their scheduled games. And what I'm getting at is I'm encouraged by all that as we get ready for three more big sports to get going. Two of them picking up where they left off, because they had already been going for a good portion. Most of their regular season was in the books in NBA and NHL, and the other would be in Major League Baseball, which starts tonight, which had not played any regular season games. I guess what I'm getting at is, while you put out there Juan Soto has tested positive, and you hate to hear that for the Nationals, because he is a young superstar for them, for sure. We should be encouraged that since everything's – but and the UFC is the other one that I should not leave out at all. UFC is a combat sport. Now, it's just one-on-one. Once again, not a big roster, but they do have a support staff, right? Trainers and all that with them.
Sure.
A group, an entourage with them. But they have been up and going. And since they've come back, that they have, once again, they've had their hiccups like everybody else. You test positive, that fighter gets pulled out, insert somebody else, and away they go. I'm saying, should we be encouraged by, to this point, the sports that have been back and up and operating have continued to be up and operating?
I'm encouraged. I think, this is a tough blow to lose Juan Soto right before you start. But I think it's also a reminder that this is going to happen some. And I think when the NFL gets going, I mean, Juan Soto is the equivalent of Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry, right? He's a star. He's a star that will be unavailable for I don't know how long until he tests free. I don't know if there's a minimum time or how long he's had it. They'll have to figure all of that out. Let's hope he's free. But this is just something that's going to have to get some taking. We're just going to have to get used to it because it's going to keep happening some. But I think you just keep moving forward. You use the protocols. You do the best that you can. And you hopefully can finish and execute the season that you want as risk-free as possible and as hiccup-free as possible. And the most encouraging thing, as you said, Darren, is, you know, once you get into that bubble, it should decrease the chances of that kind of thing happening for hockey and basketball and hopefully soccer because, as you said, they had problems getting everybody in there. Once everybody is in there,
They've been playing. In theory,
if everybody does what they're supposed to do, it should really reduce the chances that a guy here or a guy here gets it. Now, football has got to be watching baseball right now and say, okay, they're not in a bubble. They've really got to be watching it every day. And hopefully there won't be too many of these Juan Soto situations, but I think it's bound to happen some. It's going to pop up here and there.
We probably should have asked Elliot about the news around the Blue Jays. He did bring up the Blue Jays, that he had been watching some of their exhibition games. But it looked like all signs were pointing towards them going to Pittsburgh to share their beautiful ballpark with the Pirates. But it doesn't look like that is going to be the case after all. I guess they're going to be at Camden Yards in Baltimore?
That's the latest. I think Camden Yards, PNC, it looked like there was a deal done with Pittsburgh, and then somebody in Pittsburgh, it was a city leader or a state leader, I didn't get specific on that, I didn't look. They said, no, it's not going to be able to happen. I'm not going to be able to make this work. So they all of a sudden had to scramble and find another place. It looks like Camden Yards has said, you can come play here. I'm guessing that's as good as any. I mean, why not? Camden Yards, beautiful place. Same division. You got to play some games there anyway.
Right.
Won't be hard to travel to the parks that you got to get to. So that might be an even better spot.
I was going to say, it may make more sense than Pittsburgh.
As long as they have the space, and I guess they have the space to house two teams. And I guess they can do the schedule with them being in the same division that they wouldn't be playing in the same park the same day or have a doubleheader, I guess. I don't know how that works.
I think when I saw the Pittsburgh, what was it, only like a couple of games were conflicts?
Pete's saying seven.
In Baltimore? In Pittsburgh, it was seven.
When it was, okay. Yeah, but they were in a different division, so that would have been a little easier to schedule around. In thinking about that, how would you do that? I guess they play each other 10 times, so there's 10 out of the 60 right there. But there would have to be dates on the schedule where they were both scheduled to be home.
Either way, I still think Baltimore makes more sense than Pittsburgh.
If you can work
around
that.
Because you're talking about two division teams,
yeah.
Exactly what you said.
Well, it's another thing, another challenge that it's trying to get through. So, looking at the score, it is 2-2. They have reached, you can hear the music playing in the background, they've reached the end of the second period. Matt Duchene went for the buzzer beater there. Finished off, I thought, a tremendous period for him. So it's 2-2 at the end of two. We'll see how they play the second period, or sorry, the third period, Darren, and if they just keep going right on 5-on-5 with the same line combinations here for the Predator scrimmage.
No doubt about it. Did you see what Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones have been saying for the Chiefs? Have you seen the story? This is like classic Miami Heat, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. Have you seen this?
No.
So, I guess Chris Jones, earlier this week, said that the Chiefs are going to win 5+ rings in the coming years. So, ESPN's First Take.
Is that counting the one they just won or not?
Said 5+ rings. I don't know if it's counting, if they've already got one in the, you know, one in the bag. I don't know. But said they would win 5+ rings in the coming years. Now, Chris Jones, of course, just got a big new contract, just like their star quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Now, was it to the level of Mahomes, but he got paid. Well, Tyreek Hill, their star wide receiver, took it a step further. He was on First Take. And he said, well, I'm not gonna say he's telling a fib, talking about his teammate Chris Jones. He's definitely a man of his word. And we're definitely creating something special here in Kansas City. So I don't see why not. Why say 5? Why not go 7 rings? Right now, we're just chasing Michael Jordan. So that's what we do. So I'm going over 5, and I'm saying 7.
Wow.
Face palm emoji. Why would you do it? It's just like the Heat. Why would you say, we're not going to win just 1. We're not going to win 2. Not 3. 4. I mean, it's like, why would you set yourself up for that? Don't do that.
Well,
the Heat got ridiculed for that. They still, people still reference
not them. One, not two, yeah.
Not one, not two. It's like, why do that?
I just saw this morning, it's funny you mentioned that, Pete Alonso, the polar bear.
The home run champ.
Everybody loves Pete Alonso in New York, right? He's a fan favorite. He plays with great enthusiasm. He's done so many awesome things off the field. He gets asked, are the Mets the team to beat in the NL East? And he says, yeah, I think so.
Why?
He's just so excited. He can't stop himself.
Now, don't name another team in your division, but just say, hey, this division is brutal. This is a tough division.
Well, we know this is a really tough division. Yeah.
Who knows who's coming out of this division, man? This division is murder's row.
Yeah.
Anybody could come out, man. It is tough. But why would you say that?
In New York, to the New York media. You think that will be on the Braves clubhouse wall?
Not Pete Weber. Pete Alonso, come on, man.
Was Pete talking to Chris Jones earlier today? And they decided,
you know what?
Let's just spice it up a little bit. Let's give out some bulletin board material.
Face palm emoji.
Whoops.
What are you doing? Why would you say that? This is why staffs behind the scenes just
cringe,
scramble, and go nuts.
But how can you not love?
What are you thinking?
But on one hand, you love the confidence. You love the enthusiasm.
We get it. Yes, but don't go there. You don't have to say. It doesn't mean you're lacking confidence if you say.
Right.
Have you looked at our division? It's pretty stout.
It's all the way that you do it. It's all the way that you say it.
There's
all you have to do.
Great teams in this division, including us. Through that, there's great teams in this division, including us. Leave it very wide open. Have you heard? Leave things wide open for interpretation.
Exactly.
You can do both.
Drake. You can do both. You can say, hey, you know what? There's a lot of really good teams in this division. The Braves had a great season last year, but we feel confident that we can, if we play the way we're capable of, that we can be right there and we can win this thing.
Tyreek, your teammate Chris Jones said you guys are going to win 5+ rings. Your comments. I love Chris Jones. Chris Jones is my boy. Okay, we are teammates. We are together. We love our team. Hey, we're the Super Bowl champs. Last year was fun. I'd love to do it again. I'd love to do it multiple times.
We feel like we can do it, but
we feel,
a lot
and we've
of teams
got our franchise quarterback in place. Chris Jones is, you know, our stud on defense. He's in place. Both of those with two new contracts. Hey, we hope to make noise for years to come. I would love to go through that Super Bowl experience again. I'd love to go through that many times. I'm with him, but, you know, this league's tough. You know, this league is
everybody's
very
gonna
tough.
Everybody's going to be gunning for us.
Everybody's coming for us. There's ways
we're
going
to get everybody's best. We're
Guess
not going to sneak up on anybody.
Does that mean you don't have confidence if you answer that way? No.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think it's what's worse, doing it as the defending champion as boldly as they did? I mean, they didn't just say, we're going to win it again this year. We're going to win five more.
No, he's saying, I'm going to go above.
Five plus. Now, that's pretty bold. What is
Well, no, Tyreek Hill said, we want to do more than Jordan, so we want to go seven.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
so,
he went even more specific.
So you have that. For a fact, they have at least won one.
Yes.
So they can maybe be justified in being okay to brag. Is that more brash, or is Pete Alonso, who the Mets haven't won
anything?
Not in five years. I mean, they were the NL champs before he got there, right? What is more brash?
They're both. It's C, all the above.
Probably, well, they're both under the same umbrella.
Probably Pete,
but what is more outlandish?
Just because, like you said, they haven't won anything on his watch. Nothing.
But you know, like around the league, the NFL, how would you react as the other team? All right, let's say you're the Ravens or you're the Titans, whatever. You'll laugh and say, well, they did win it last year. If you're the Braves and you see Pete Alonso saying that, you'd have to go, pfft. Okay, Pete.
Shake your head.
All right. I mean, this is my guy. I love the polar bear.
SMDH.
But what is he doing? You know, the Braves are good enough anyway, and now they'll be ready to roll tomorrow.
All right, we're going to roll out of here. We're going to take our final break, come back, and wrap up Thursday's edition of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Period underway here at Bridgestone Arena. White versus gold. Inter-squad scrimmage tied at 2.
And it looks like, unlike yesterday, they will play a full third period here. The clock running at 20. Yesterday they didn't even have the clock. They just did a series of special teams exercises, if you will. They sort of just kept exchanging power plays, penalty kills, and then they called it a day. Ooh.
Good opportunity for Johansson in front.
Johansson has had some very good chances in this game, but it doesn't have a
big
doesn't have
save
a goal
by Ingram.
Yeah. He's had some good shots. Saros robbed him a couple times. Ingram got him right there.
By the way, the second goal for the white team to tie it up at 2, I think we were in a break. Oh, there's a pretty – by the way, Victor Arvidsson backdoor, that's his second goal. That's what I was going to say. The second goal for the white team was Victor Arvidsson. Now make it the third goal for the white team. Victor Arvidsson, his second goal of the day. And, oh, by the way, Elliott Freeman saying having the goal team -1.5.
Uh-oh.
It's not looking good.
Well, wind it back to yesterday.
Not looking good.
So that means Johansson, Forsberg, Arvidsson, they have connected for 3 goals now in the 2 scrimmages. So that line's looking good, as well as Duchesne's line. So for what that's worth, those two lines, which you would hope would be doing some good stuff, have been.
Typically, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to try to do on Saturday, which will be their final practice at home before they head to Edmonton?
I don't know. One thing I haven't seen in just the practices I've been here is things like the 4-on-4. Now, you don't really have to work on 3-on-3 because there is no 3-on-3. There's no shootout. But I would think maybe a little bit of 4-on-4, maybe even a little 4-on-3, which could happen. or a 5-on-3, for example. That's just stuff that I haven't seen. But I'm, you know, that's a question more for a Hal Gill when you start doing those things and how much you do those types of things. But, yeah, I don't know if it's just going to be a straightforward practice. I guess it is, right? They haven't said it's a scrimmage on Saturday, but
I don't know
how they choose to go about that.
Will Ferrell sending a message to just us. I don't even see it. I think the media has left. I think it's just us up here. I see nobody on the other side of Fang Vision.
Yeah.
As we're set to Rim Pitlick, set to take a face-off with McCarron.
This is another line that I think has been noticeable. Colin Blackwell with Rim Pitlick and Ellie Tolvanen today. They've been really good.
That will do it. Wow. Last time we'll be in Bridgestone Arena broadcasting before the team heads to the Hub City to get things cranked up in the qualifying round against the Arizona Coyotes, where they will stay until they are done. And we are done. That'll do it for us on this Thursday. You have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. as we will wrap up the week. Then we'll see you then.